Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the standing between the living and the dead service, memorial, prayer, devotional, evangelistic service, part two. In keeping with our emphasis in this second part of this service, designed to remember those who have died, saved and lost, and to pray for their family members who are still in shock at such a death. A death that has taken away multiple family members of various generations. It is so shocking to the system because thousands upon thousands have died suddenly without being able to say goodbye properly in our traditional way. And so many thousands have died 20, 30, 40, 50 years younger than what they would have died under normal circumstances. So many years of life has been lost. And so we pray for them, but we also pray for the living. This service is designed to help you get through this time, however long it will be. And my advice to you, my dear friend, as I have told you, do not listen to government officials. Listen to God for your life, and you move and you operate accordingly. And so, ladies and gentlemen, with that, and in keeping with our emphasis on prayer, reading the Word of God, and family devotions, and I already know that you people don't want to hear that. God has already informed me of that. And I know you don't want to hear anything about prayer. You don't want to hear anything about reading the Bible. You don't want to hear anything about getting with family members you hate to have family devotions. I already know most of you are not going to do it. God told me, as he told Ezekiel, I want you to tell them this, but they're not going to obey you, Ezekiel, because they don't even obey me. God also told me, like he told Ezekiel, the prophet, do not care about their faces and how hard their faces look. You preach my word. You tell them what I want them to do. And I know this service is will never be popular, but it needs to be done. And you will see that as time goes on more and more. Because the former days that you think are coming back, they're not coming back. And so you better change your ways and start praying and reading the Bible and meditating on the Bible and obeying the Bible and getting with your family and praying with them as well and gathering your family back together. And start loving each other before they die or before you die. Hello. Yes, that's what I want you to do, is say hello to your family members and say, I love you. Dr. Harold S. Martin said, every one of us needs to strive to stay in top spiritual condition, and may I add, at all times. Because, see, let me just say this. One of the benefits of prayer, private prayer, family prayer, and family devotions, it has a way of fortifying you against the vicissitudes, and some of them are painful ups and downs of life. You'll be ready for death if you stay in prayer. Death in the family. Tragedies in your life and in the family. Shocking events. Shocking reversals. Car problems, house problems, hurricanes, fires, tornadoes. If you're praying consistently, you'll be able to put all of that in perspective, and you'll keep on rolling along with peace and with joy. And those things, my beloved, are priceless. He goes on to say, and allow me to say it all over again. Every one of us needs to strive to stay in tip-top spiritual condition through the discipline of daily devotional exercise. Now, I try to exercise every day. Now, I just turned 60, and so I'm hearing a little voice that's saying that maybe you might want to shift that to every other day. So I'm thinking about doing that. I do my exercise not to lose weight necessarily, even though I need to do that. I like feeling good. And so you need to see, it's a shame to do your physical. In fact, God won't let me do my wife knows this. My baby son knows this. Especially because they're in the room with me when I'm exercising. And they know I'll stop the exercise and say, no, let's pray. God will not let me exercise physically without exercising spiritually. First, he won't. So you need, listen to me. Devotions is your exercise. Some of you are faithful to your exercises. You're looking inside of mirrors now. You're looking at videos. You're on Peloton and everything else. And you're faithful to that. You know why you're faithful? Not because you necessarily feel like doing it, but you love having done it. You love the wonderful way you feel after you have done it. Amen, amen, amen. It's not because you feel like doing it. You love it, you appreciate it because it makes you feel good after you have done it. Well, the same thing with spiritual exercise. You need to do your spiritual exercise first, for bodily exercise profits little, but spiritual exercise big time. Okay? That's the Daniel White, the third version. He goes on to say, the absence of private daily devotions is the number one reason for backsliding among professing Christians. And I believe that with all of my heart. That's why I'm striking at this every day. This is how you get revived. This is how you get on fire for the Lord again. This is how you get back on the front lines and the firing line, so to speak. Let's pray for all families to pray together, obey together, and stay together. Holy Father God, I pray for everybody who names the name of Christ this morning in this country and around the globe. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to pray. Help us to seek your face, and help us to turn from our wicked ways. in our families and in our lives, and help us to repent and get back to you, Lord Jesus Christ, our first love. And Lord, we pray for the healing of all Christian families or families that name the name of Christ. We pray that you'll save those who are lost in every family. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would revive our families again that name the name of Christ. Bring about healing. Help us to indeed pray together, obey together, and stay together. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of all other families that don't know your Savior. Forgive us of our sins of not witnessing to families and trusting you for household salvation. For we have not obeyed your great commandment or your great commitment. We don't love the people and we don't witness to the people in the church today. Help us to repent. And if you can use us and raise us up to be used again, please do so. But Lord, if you choose not to, we pray that you'll raise up other laborers to come into the field and reach the people and the harvest that we have neglected. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Again, this week we're reading this passage. I have commented and preached from this passage for weeks. And so this week I'm trying. I tried it last week, but I failed. But I was pretty successful yesterday. And so, and we're just going to read the scriptures today. And next week, we're going to do something a little bit different. Something we've done in our family from time to time as well. Today we're dealing with husbands from the family verses, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh and nourisheth but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we'll be reading one verse tomorrow in the family verses, or what I call the family verses. And that is verse 33 that deals with the husband and the wife in one verse. Join me in prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your holy word, the family passages in Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, where you clearly tell the husband, the wife, the father, and the mother, and the children what you expect of us. Drawing in the Old Testament and the New Testament and speaking to our hearts. We know better because we know what your holy word says. So Lord, help us to do better. And Holy Father God, we pray for every family and every individual who names the name of Christ in this country and around the globe. Help us to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we pray for all of your ministers in government, from the president on down. Lord, we pray for salvation and spiritual and family and life, protection and provision, and financial and material leadership, guidance and direction in their lives. And Lord, turn their hearts in the way that you want to turn them in doing what needs to be done. And we pray this prayer for all of the president's cabinet, all of the president's administration. Sad to say, there's so much lying and so much confusion and foolishness going on in the political realm. And so, Lord God in heaven, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, cast the devil and the demons of hell out of the hearts and minds and lives of these people. Rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from their minds and lives, and lead them, guide them, and direct them to do what is right for your glory and for the people. We pray for all senators and all representatives, U.S. representative, U.S. senators, state senators, state representatives, all governors, all mayors, all police chiefs, all sheriffs, and all of the police officers and deputies. Lord, help them to go out and do their job today and to do it well, and not to be intimidated by citizens, but to understand that their mandate comes from you, and you have given them the authority. And Lord, we do pray that you would weed out the bad, cast out the demoniacs in these great professions, and raise up those good men and women who mean well and who are out to help people. They have, many of them, dreamed about being it all of their lives, a police officer or deputy sheriff. We pray for the healing of the people who, young people who were shot in a sheriff's car the other day. We pray that they, Lord, that they would catch that wicked criminal and do whatever is necessary to him. And I know that you will have all of that to come to pass. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for every prime minister, every premier, every president, and every potentate around the world. We pray, Lord, for the protection of Israel and the peace of Jerusalem. And Holy Father God, we thank you for the Abraham Accords. And we thank you, Lord, for all of that coming to pass, and we pray that that would increase somehow, some way. We pray for the salvation of the lost in this country and around the globe and in the media. We pray for the revival of the saved in this country, around the globe, and in the media as well. And Holy Father God, we pray for all of your persecuted Christian people in China, in America, in Iran, in Nigeria, in the Philippines, and other places, some that we don't even know about. Please comfort them and heal them and deliver them and give them grace in their trying hours and some in their dying hours as they become martyrs, as only you know how to do. That's above our heads. And all we can do is pray for them, and we do. And Lord God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ now for the healing of those who are sick. Those who are truly saved, help them to call for their pastor and their pastors to pray for them and with them over the phone. And Lord, we pray that you would heal them of the coronavirus plague disease and raise them up if they're willing to confess their sins and be transparent. We also pray, Lord, for the salvation and healing of those who are not saved. And Holy Father God, we pray for all of the people in the millions who have lost tragically lost loved ones to the coronavirus plague. And some have lost multiple family members. There's a family in Maine that has lost 7, and I think it has spread to almost 100 people. Lord, there's a lady who is in the military, and she went to a club. She's facing 10 years in jail, a young lady, because she had the coronavirus plague, and she spread it abroad. And Lord, this thing is so contagious. We pray, Lord, that you will help these families who have lost loved ones and who are stunned not only at the death, the tragic, premature death of their loved one and loved ones, but they're stunned at the lack of empathy and sympathy that this country normally gives. It is so cold and so callous today, like I've never seen it in my life. For you have said it, Lord, a long time ago before we got here, that the love of many shall wax cold. And that's what has happened in America. And so, Holy Father God, comfort them as we pray for some by name. We pray for all of them, too numerous to name in this service. We pray, Lord, for the family and the friends of New York Dr. James Goodrich. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends of New Jersey veteran Douglas Hickok. We pray for the family and friends of Colorado Deputy Jeff Hopkins. We pray for the family and friends of New Jersey medical technician Kim King Smith. We pray for the family and friends of Utah resident Sylvia Melendez. We pray for the family and friends of New York journalist Maria Mercator. We pray also for healing and comfort in the family and among the friends of New Jersey nurse Mary Beth Papetti. We pray for the family and friends of Texas school principal Philip Perry. We pray for the family and friends of North Carolina deputy sheriff Sai Prasuth. P is all I'm going to try to say. And we pray for the family and friends of New Jersey social worker Janice Preschel. And Lord, we pray for many, many more. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. Now, Lord, we pray for those people who have sent in prayer requests, and we pray for all of the people who have sent in prayer requests. Lord, you know who they are. We pray for all of them. We're just going to pray for seven by name. Lord, we pray that you would hear and answer their prayers, hear and answer our prayers for them, for their specific needs. And Lord God in heaven, we pray that you'll protect them all from the coronavirus plague. We pray that you'll provide food and housing for all of them while we're going through this plague. And we pray for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material protection and provision blessings, Lord, upon each and every one of them and their families. And we pray for a few by name. We pray for James. Please provide his church with free Bibles and Christian books for their school and church activities. We pray for Eric. Please show him the meanings of the visions he is having. We pray for Chica. Please provide him and his church with all of the Bibles they need for new converts. We pray for Maricel. Bless her with a child according to your perfect time and will. We pray for Sandley. Please be with her and save her and her loved ones. Protect her from harm. We pray for Marie Grace. Please give the authorities who are investigating a serious criminal network in her town insight and discernment. Please give them the resources they need to help the children who are caught up in it. Please bring support for her and her son, who is also caught up in these events. Give them protection and security, and save all the people involved, and protect them all from the coronavirus plague. We pray for Leo. Please bless him with a clear visa, registration, and permit to visit his family in Bangladesh. And now, Holy Father God, we pray for those who have gotten saved through the preaching of the gospel through this ministry. And we pray for those who have rededicated their life through this ministry, through the preaching of your holy word. We pray for all of the people, Lord, who have gotten saved that are not on this little list for today, and those who have come back to you as well. We only pray for seven each, but we pray for all of the others who have believed in you as well through the preaching of the gospel through this ministry. And Lord, we pray that you'll help them all to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith. We pray for Rick, Joseph, Juan. We pray for Heath, Gamba, Aditha, Samson. And then for those who recommitted their lives, we pray for Ezekiel, Brenda, Otito, MB, Don, Love, Cecil, Ferdinand. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading for today is titled Life is a Temporary Assignment, Part 1, from the Purpose-Driven Life by Dr. Rick Warren. Psalm 39:4 says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and that my life is fleeing away. Psalm 119:19 says, I am here on earth for just a little while. Life on earth is a temporary assignment. The Bible is full of metaphors that teach about the brief, temporary, transient nature of life on earth. Life is described as a mist, a fast runner, a breath, and a wisp of smoke. The Bible says, for we were born but yesterday. Our days on earth are as transient as a shadow. To make the best use of your life that God has given to you, by the way, you must never forget two truths. Two truths. First, compared with eternity, life is extremely brief. Extremely brief. Second, earth is only a temporary residence. A temporary residence. I know you want to make it permanent, but it's not. You won't be here long, so don't get too attached to earth, to this life. Ask God to help you see life on earth as He sees it. David prayed, Lord, help me to realize how brief my time on earth will be. Help me to know that I am here for but a moment more. And that is the same for you. Let us pray. Holy Father God, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for allowing us to even be here and having a mind to even do this. And we thank you for your help and your grace and your strength and the power of your Holy Spirit to do this for your glory, praise, and honor, and for the benefit of the people out there who are hurting at the death of their loved ones, and those who are living and trying to make it through this, Lord, the living and the dead. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done, for what you're doing, and for what you will do. Be with us throughout the remainder of this day, and Lord, help us to pray without ceasing and meditate on your word that we've heard today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray that you will save that soul that is nearest hell, Lord, right now, as they hear the gospel. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you're with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for your soul's salvation from sin and from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin in hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. I have, and everybody else has, from the Pope on down, from Joel Osteen on down, from the Dalai Lama on down. We all have sinned against God, and each one of those individuals would admit that and have admitted that. And I admit it before you. We all have fallen short of God's holy standard, for the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody, red, yellow, black, and white. Nobody is better than anybody else in God's sight. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin, for the Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You understand that you're going to die. The reason why you're going to die is because of your sinful nature and your sinful choices. And that's the reason why everybody dies. So you need to prepare for that, because the Bible says that after death, the judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after death, the judgment. You're going to give an account to God for the life that you have lived. So thirdly, you need to understand very clearly and accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. If you have never believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior in a very real sense, in a soul-saving sense, then you're on your way to a devil's hell right now. And Jesus Christ, dear friend, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. He preached more on hell than any prophet, any writer, any apostle, any preacher in the Bible. Jesus Christ was meek and lowly and loving, but he was a hellfire and brimstone preacher because he came to die for our sins. As the Lamb of God, he came and he suffered and he bled and he died and was humiliated before the world. He died, was buried, and rose on the third day. He is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. And he did that to save us from this awful place called hell so that we can go to heaven when we die. He made that possible through his death. And Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." Hell is a very real place. Dear friend, I promise you and I assure you, you do not want to go anywhere near hell. Jesus Christ, when he was describing hell one time, he said, "It is a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth." Jesus Christ, when he was describing hell another time, he said, "It is a place where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Hell is a very real place, and hell is bad news, because once you go beyond the gates of hell, the gates will close behind you and you will never get a second chance. You will never get out. You will be in the horrors of hell forever. That's how bad sin is in God's sight. But he's willing to forgive you of your sins and save your soul. Yes, hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven still if you're still living and the blood is running warm in your veins. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ said in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just do what Jesus Christ told you to do. "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God, and God will save your soul. For Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, dear friend, it is as simple as that. You don't have to be inside of a church to get saved. You don't have to give anybody the right hand of fellowship. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down an aisle. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to give any money to the church. You don't have to do any good works. You don't have to be a deacon or a preacher in the church to be saved. None of that stuff will save you. Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ paid your sin debt, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Call upon his name, pray and ask him to save you, seal the deal, and he will save your soul, because his precious blood was shed for you and me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So trust in Christ today, right where you are. If you're sitting in your bed, you're driving down the road, pull over and pray this prayer. Get off the stationary bike and pray this prayer. If you're walking the dog, pause for a minute and pray this prayer, believing in your heart in Jesus Christ as he commanded you to and told you to, and he'll save your soul. It's your choice. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have sinned against you in many ways. For I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying, by stealing things regardless of their value, by lusting in my heart after people and things, by dishonoring and disobeying my parents, and by taking your holy name in vain, and many other sins I have committed. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I now believe in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. I receive your free gift of salvation, your death, burial, and resurrection. Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to the Gospel Light website at gospellightsociety.com and read my book free of charge. All you have to do is download it. The book is titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you accepted him and received him into your heart as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.